In the present case, for example, since owing to causes not dependent on me, but flowing from the strange and accidental circumstances of my life, I happen to be writing books. I am compelled to do this also in keeping with that same principle, which has gradually been fixed in me by various extraordinary coincidences created by life itself, and has blended with each atom of my common presence. This time, I shall put this psycho-organic principle of mine into practice. By not following the custom of all writers, established from the remote past down to the present, of taking as the theme of their various writings the events that supposedly have occurred or are now occurring on Earth. But instead, I shall take events on the scale of the whole universe. Thus also in the present case, if you take, then take. That is to say, if you go on a spree, then go the whole hog, including the postage. Any writer can write on the scale of the earth, but I am not any writer. Can I confine myself merely to this paltry earth of ours? Paltry, that is, in the objective sense? No, this I cannot do. I cannot take from my writings the same themes that other writers generally take, if only because what our learned spiritualists affirm might suddenly come true, and my grandmother might hear of this. And do you realize what might happen to her, to my dear beloved grandmother? Would she not turn in her grave, as they say? And not only once, but, as I understand her, especially now that I have become quite skillful at entering into the position of another, she would turn so many times that she might almost be transformed into an Irish weathercock. Please, reader, do not be alarmed. I shall, of course, also write of the earth, but with such an impartial attitude that this comparatively small planet and everything on it will correspond to the place it occupies in reality, and which, even according to your own sane logic, arrived at, thanks, of course, to my guidance, it must occupy in our great universe. And, of course, I must make the various what are called heroes of my writings, not such types as in general the writers of all ranks and in all epochs on earth have described and extolled. That is, types such as those Toms, Dicks, or Harrys, who are born through a misunderstanding and during the process of their formation up to responsible life, fail to acquire anything proper to a creature in the image of God, that is to say, a man, and who until their last breath progressively cultivate in themselves only such charms as lasciviousness, mawkishness, amorousness, malice, chicken-heartedness, envy, and similar vices unworthy of a man. I intend to introduce in my writings heroes of such a kind that everybody must willy-nilly sense them with his whole being as real, and about whom data must inevitably be crystallized in every reader for the notion that each one of them is indeed a somebody and not just anybody. During these last weeks, while lying in bed, my body completely exhausted, I mentally drafted a summary of my future writings and thought out the form and sequence of their exposition. And I decided to make the chief hero of the first series of my writings, do you know whom? The great Beelzebub himself. And I did this in spite of the fact that from the very outset, this choice of mine might evoke in the mentation of most of my readers such associations as would engender in them all kinds of automatic, contradictory impulses coming from the data infallibly formed in the psyche of people by all the established abnormal conditions of their external existence. and in general crystallized in them, thanks to the famous religious morality rooted in their life, all of which must inevitably result in an inexplicable hostility toward me personally. But do you know what, reader? In the event that you decide, despite this warning, to risk further acquaintance with my writings, and you try to absorb them always in a spirit of impartiality, and try to understand the very essence of the questions I intend to elucidate, I now wish, in view of an inherency in the human psyche, whereby the good can be perceived without opposition only when a contact of mutual frankness and confidence is established, to make a sincere confession to you about the associations that arose in me and precipitated in the corresponding sphere of my consciousness, the data that prompted the whole of my individuality to select as the chief hero of my writings just such an individual as is presented before your inner eyes by this same Mr. Beelzebub. I did this not without cunning. My cunning lies simply in the logical supposition that if I pay him this attention, he will infallibly, as up till now I have no reason to doubt, show his gratitude by helping me in my intended writings with all the means at his command. Although Mr. Beelzebub is, as the saying goes, of a different clay, yet as I learned long ago from the treatise of the famous Catholic monk Brother Foulon, he has a curly tail. So I, being thoroughly convinced from experience that curls are never natural, but can be obtained only by various intentional manipulations, have to conclude, according to the sane logic formed in my consciousness from reading books on chiromancy, that Mr. Beelzebub must also have a good share of vanity, and will therefore find it extremely awkward not to help someone who is going to advertise his name. It is not for nothing that our incomparable teacher, Mullah Nasruddin, frequently says, without greasing the palm, not only is it impossible to live tolerably anywhere, but even to breathe. And another terrestrial sage named Till Eulenspiegel, who also based his wisdom on the crass stupidity of people, has expressed the same idea in the following words. If you don't grease the wheels, the cart won't go. Knowing these and many other sayings of popular wisdom formed throughout the centuries in the collective life of people, I have decided to grease the palm of Mr. Beelzebub, who, as everyone realizes, has means and knowledge enough and to spare. Hold on, old fellow. Joking, even philosophical joking aside, it seems that with all these digressions, you have violated one of the chief principles that you had made the basis of the system you planned for actualizing your dreams through this new profession. The principle to remember and always take into account the weakening of the function of thinking in the contemporary reader, and not to fatigue him with the perception of numerous ideas over a short period of time. Moreover, when I asked one of those people who were always hanging around me, eager to enter paradise without fail with their boots on, to read aloud straight through everything I have written in this introductory chapter, what is called my I, of course with the participation of all the data formed in my peculiar psyche during the course of my life, which have given me, among other things, an understanding of the psyche of creatures like myself, but of different types, my I perceived and cognized with certainty that thanks to this chapter alone, there must inevitably arise in the common presence of every reader without exception a something automatically engendering a marked hostility toward me personally. To tell the truth, it is not this which worries me the most at the moment. What worries me is the fact that at the end of the reading, I also perceived that in the sum total of everything expounded in this chapter, my whole presence, in which the aforesaid I plays a very small part, manifested itself in a way quite contrary to one of the fundamental commandments of that universal teacher, whom I particularly esteem, Mullah Nasr ed-Din, which he expressed in the following words: "Never poke your stick into a hornet's nest." But the agitation that had pervaded the whole system animating my feelings, when I realized that an animosity toward me must necessarily arise in the reader, immediately quieted down when I remembered the ancient Russian proverb that states, "There is no offense which with time will not blow over. Time grinds every grain into flour." Since then, the agitation that arose from realizing my failure to obey the commandment of Mullah Nasr ed-Din no longer troubles me in the least. Nevertheless, a very strange process has begun in both of my recently acquired souls, taking the form of an unusual itching, which has increased progressively until it now produces an almost intolerable pain in the region a little below the right half of my already over-exercised solar plexus.